B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to the Other Identity Podcast. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Other Identity. Thanks for sticking with us so far. We promised the last segment that we had a special guest for you today, and I'm really, really excited to welcome her here to the show. She got her start in comics writing licensed properties like Gem and the Holograms and Power Rangers before landing her Marvel debut during Secret Wars in 2015 with Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. She wrote the Eisner-nominated Hawkeye series starring Kate Bishop before signing exclusively with Marvel in 2018 and has since worked on Mr. and Mrs. X, Jessica Jones, Uncanny X-Men, West Coast Avengers, and more, and is currently writing Captain Marvel and Deadpool, as well as the recently launched Black Widow. So please welcome superstar Kelly Thompson. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hi, that's quite an intro.
I wanted to make sure it was correct because I researched you extensively to make sure we included hopefully everything.
Well, and we like to make sure that we're giving our guests the introductions they deserve. I actually just started Mr. and Mrs. X just the other day. I am a huge, huge Rogan Gambit fan, like going all the way back to the animated series in the 90s. Like, they were my power couple. Like, forget Joker and Harley, forget Batman and Catwoman. It's those two, and you do such a phenomenal job writing them as well.
Thank you. They're the same for me, so we're coming at them from the same place, which always helps.
So where we like to start, you know, whenever we have guests on the show is, you know, we like to do what we think of as like the origin story, right? So to begin with, Kelly, take us back to your earliest memory of you when you remember falling in love with comics.
The real earliest memory is buying Archie Digest at the grocery store checkout line, or rather begging my mother to buy them for me, which I would say worked like 50% of the time, which is pretty generous. Because
that's pretty good for a kid, yeah.
And she does not get comics, so I think it was particularly good because I'm sure she was like, why am I buying this? I don't understand it. So yeah, that was really the first thing. But it was much later in life when I was a teenager, like 15 or something, that the X-Men animated series came out.
And
that led to me, like many people, that led me to sort of finding comics and the X-Men specifically, but more specifically, it led to me discovering the whole world of comics. Like, 'cause when I was reading those Archie Digests, they were just a cool thing and I didn't understand. I was both too small and too dumb to like get that there was a larger world, you know, like I didn't think about how they came out or who made them or, you know, what the deal was. But that entry when I was a teenager I became someone who went to comic shops. I became a Wednesday warrior who had a pull and who, you know, got involved in the whole thing of it. Right. And like began to understand what comics really were and could be, you know.
Incidentally, I've been doing an X-Men 90s rewatch since we've been in quarantine to fill the time on Disney Plus, and I just got to, Kelly, you'll know what I'm talking about. I just got to the episodes in the fifth season where they switched the animation style.
Oh, yeah.
Where it got all like loose and weird. And what the immediate emotion I had was, oh no, it's almost over. Because I'm like, I was like, those are the last few episodes. They look all weird and crazy. But yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, Kelly, I also have to ask, growing up, at any point, whether it was when you were younger or, you know, like me, I actually got mine when I was a little bit older here, is there like a superhero persona that you have? Like if you ever got to be a superhero, had your own set of powers, is that something you think about or have tucked away somewhere?
No, I would be so boring as a superhero.
All right, let me tell you, it couldn't be any worse.
I wish I could fly, but other than that, like...
Yeah, it couldn't be any worse than Ben over here, Professor Awesome. I'm not, you know, even to this day, even 17 episodes in, I'm not sure what his superpower is supposed to be. Is it homework, Ben?
No, it's being awesome. You're focused on the wrong part of the name. It's not about the professor part. It's about the awesome part. It's that I have the ability to be awesome, much like our guest today. But what I want to know, Kelly, is I know you kind of like you talked a little bit about you were becoming a Wednesday warrior, as you put it. When did you realize that a job in comics was a thing that could happen? Because I know you were writing for comic book resources. I know you've written novels. Like, when did it crystallize that, like, writing a comic book could be something I could do?
Well, you know, someone asked me this the other day about, like, does your child self be like, oh yeah, I achieved my dream. I work for Marvel Comics. And I was telling them that I don't know that I ever thought of it in those concrete terms, but and specific to like Marvel or DC or something. Mm-hmm. I think I just wanted to make comics. And, right. You know, I went to SCAD. So I very much saw it as a job. I got a degree in sequential art. I very much saw it as, can I do this as a job? But I didn't, I don't know. I never really, I don't know when it happened that I was like, okay, I'm going to try to break in to mainstream comics and I'm going to try to let Marvel hire me or DC hire me or something. I think I was just in my mind, I was like, yeah, I guess I'll just make weird indie comics that, you know, nobody reads. Like I did a daily comic strip on my blog for a while back in the early, I don't know, 2007 to 2009 or something like that. I probably, when I really started to think about maybe I could break in at Marvel or DC was probably when I was writing for CBR, because at that point I was pretty in that world. I mean, I was like a one foot inside it kind of thing. And it seemed right. A little more like a reality that I could achieve. But like, even as a kid, when I was writing scripts and drawing characters and doing all that stuff, and I suppose in some vague way in my mind, I thought, oh yeah, someday I get to write those things. But, you know, I was always mostly doing my own characters. I didn't like write Rogue and Gambit scripts. Mm-hmm. I like wrote my own, you know, like really bad knockoffs of the X-Men, right? Like, maybe I could have had an Image book if I was old enough. No, that's like a mean joke. I love Image and the Image 90s stuff is super fun. And there was no bigger fan of like Wildcats and Gen 13. And also, I think the highly underrated Strike Force that spun out of Cyber Force, but Strike Force was the better book in my opinion. But, you know, it's like a lot of those characters, you know, we look back and we're like, oh yeah, that's someone who wanted to write Wolverine, but wanted to do it their own way. And I was doing that too, like as a teenager, rather than just writing Rogue and Gambit. And so I don't know if that was because writing Rogue and Gambit just seemed like too high a bar, you know? Mm-hmm. Or what? I don't know what that was like in my mind, but that was sort of how it gelled together eventually.
So speaking of Rogue and Gambit, and, you know, some of the other Marvel properties that you write, can you take us back and talk about how you broke into Marvel? Like what was it like and what led up to the day that you got that call that you would be working for Marvel in, you know, writing Deadpool, Captain Marvel?
Well, to this day, I'm not really sure if I got the call to do the Secret Wars miniseries that I co-wrote with Kelly Sue DeConnick. I'm not sure if that was because I had gone through all these channels, and it's a very long process, but I had finally gotten a pitch into them for Hawkeye Investigations, which eventually became my Hawkeye book. And I know that Sana Amanat yep. had that, but I don't know if it was like she liked the pitch and she suggested bringing me on, or if it was Kelly Sue DeConnick, who I knew a little bit, like, you know, through the internet and had been very helpful in making a couple introductions for me to other editors, not at Marvel, but some other places, and directly ended up, or indirectly, I guess, led to me getting the Gem job. So I don't know if that's how I got in or not. It might have been a combination of a few of those things. And then once you're in there, you just have to do good work and be on time and not be an asshole. And hopefully they keep giving you work, you know?
See, my plan is to eventually come up with the best origin story for the Condiment King and get hired on at DC.
Yeah, it's a great plan. Foolproof. That's a really great story, Kelly, that I didn't actually know. And it's funny because I think we overlap barely at Marvel, where you were coming in as I was kind of coming out. But I remember when you started on the Secret Wars stuff, and right away we were like, wow, this is a great new voice of somebody who's really going to contribute something. So it's kind of cool to hear the inside of the origin story.
Oh, that's awesome. That's nice to hear. I mean, listen, Kelly Sue DeConnick's magic is all over that miniseries. But yes. I'm sure she would agree that as happens when you've got a younger, inexperienced person working with a really brilliant person like Kelly Sue DeConnick. I mean, I did a lot of the grunt work on that. I did a lot of the breaking down of that arc, and I wrote the first drafts, and then like she came in and made them really sing, you know. And the initial idea and plot was all hers. So, but it was a great experience. And I was, you know, it was a lot like when I got called to do the Star Wars annual, you know, right. I did so much research and prep for that. And it's like anything in comics, you know, yes, I wanted to do a great job on that issue, but it was more about, I knew I was auditioning to do more Star Wars stuff. And so, you know, that's what comics is. It's a constant audition for what your next thing might be. Even now, you know, someone sees you write something a certain way and they're like, oh, they might be a good fit for this, you know, and that's what you're always doing.
That's so interesting to hear, guys. Stay tuned. We have more Kelly coming up here in just a bit, but we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.